All right, we'll go ahead and we'll pray, and then we'll jump into the lesson on tonight. Yah, we glorify you as we present ourselves to you again. We seek for understanding. We just seek your wisdom in every facet of our lives. We thank you for our Most High Son, who you've given up to us as our Savior. And we just praise you for him, and we thank you for all that you are in our lives because of what you have done through him. And we praise you in the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. There are some things that I want to continue on from Romans chapter 13 from a review perspective, and then I'll jump into Matthew chapter 25. And so we'll start out at Romans 13, and then we'll move to Matthew 35. Then I'm going to be transparent with you. You remember I told you about a meeting that I had scheduled for, which is now this past Monday. So I want to be, since I mentioned the meeting and about what Yah said that he was going to do, I want to be transparent with you as far as that meeting was concerned. And then at the same time, give you an understanding of some things in reference to the meeting, and at the same time, you realize some things personally about yourself too. As you notice, we discussed in Romans chapter 13, specifically around verse 1 through verse 1 through 4, and I'll read it again. It says, let every soul be subject in submission and basically subordinate unto higher powers, for there is no power but of Yah. The powers that be are ordained of Yah. So we got to understand that everything that exists from a perspective of government, whether it's local government, state government, and national government, international government, these things are put in place by Yah. They're ordained of Yah. Yah has made everything for his pleasure, and he set things in place for specific reasons. And that's why verse 2 says, whosoever resisteth the power, the authority, the government, anything that's in a position of power. We'll look at the word power again, just to define it. When it says power, it says authority, jurisdiction, liberty. Just different word, force, capacity, and so influence. So these powers are put in place and they're ordained by Yah. So at this time, I'll go ahead and just kind of tie it to this meeting that I just had. When I showed up, you remember, as I was telling y'all that when I showed up, that y'all was going to give me wisdom on how to deal with this particular government official, from the perspective of the meeting that I had. And so when I had awakened, that morning to be ready to go to the meeting that afternoon, Yah started to deal with me about what he wanted me to say and his approach to how he wanted to do it. Because what I had pointed out is that Yah had said that the city of Dallas was going to meet him face to face. He said they were going to meet him. When I got there, the first thing that he led me to do was to reference this passage. And so what I explained to them, there were other people in the meeting. Matter of fact, they had a meeting before they met with me. And because there are some things that they are coming to understand that what they're dealing with us on is not us they're actually dealing with, but in reality, that it is Yah who is leading and guiding us, and he's doing all these things in our lives. And so they're realizing that this is not a work, that this is not a work that just belongs to, to us as individuals. So when I started the meeting, I said, first of all, sir, I want you to understand that I respect your position. You know, I said, I respect your position. And, you know, I have the highest degree of respect for your position. And I said, your position is ordained by Yah. I said, but at the same time, according to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're just going to go there, but we're going to keep Romans chapter 13, so he's leading me to Ephesians chapter 4 to show you why I'm saying these different things. So Ephesians chapter 4, we'll look at we'll start at verse 8. Well, I start at verse 5. I just start at verse 5. Ephesians 4, verse 5. Says one of verse 4. Verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Jehovah, one faith, one baptism. And so you get all these people talking about these different avenues. The Bible says, points out there's only one avenue from all perspectives of the kingdom. If you're talking about the body, there's only one body. Okay, there are many members in the body, but there's one body that belongs to the Most High Yah. Okay, one body, one spirit, and ye, as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Jehovah, one faith, one baptism, one Yah and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So I'll say this from this perspective. When you look at it being one Yah, there is only one God, one Yah. There is none else. Christ, especially when you look at the European perspective on who Christ is, you have to understand what it means when things are pointed out as Christ being, when you hear some say Christ is God. Christ is the Son of God. He's the Son of Yah. He's Yah manifested. And so what you're looking at is Yah manifested through the flesh of a man, Christ. Okay? That's why I encourage you that through honoring the Son, I encourage you to worship the Father. And through worshiping the Father, it brings honor to the Son. He and the Father are one. But I want you to understand from the perspective of who Christ is in reference to Yah. There is no Trinity. There is no three Godhead. There's only one, according to the Scripture. There is no God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. There is one Yah. One Yah who is above all. He's above Christ and he's above the Holy Spirit. All things are because of him. Okay? And so when we understand things through that proper perspective, yes, he and the Father are one, but one from a perspective of unification, not one from a perspective of I'm being equal with him from a perspective of I am God as he is God. And so there are things that I give you understanding. There are things that I say to you that will give you understanding of what I mean. Yah does not need to pray. There are certain things that he does not need to do. Christ needed to do certain things. He needed to pray to the Father. The Father don't need to I am that I am. I don't have to pray about anything. It just is. I don't need to be strengthened. I am the strength. And so it shows you the proper rank of the Most High Yah being that He is one, because when you look at what our Savior did, He said, I can do nothing of myself. Everything I do is what the Father gives me. There is one Yah. Okay? So when you look at who Christ is, it is Yah working in Christ. The same way as Yah work in each one of you. Okay? And so that's why the scripture says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of Yah, they are the sons of Yah. Not the sons that's equal with Yah, that's the gift that calls all of us to be who we are. But it puts things in the proper perspective, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. Maybe I'll come back and deal with some things about that later, but I just want you to understand from the perspective of who Yah is, you know. So there's one Yah and Father of all. He's Yah, and He's the Father of all. Christ is not my Father. He's my Lord. He's my Jehovah. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer because of the Father giving Him as a gift. So when Christ died, you know, Yah gave His Son so that we could be redeemed. So, but again, I don't want to spend a lot of time with that. So verse 5, again, says one Jehovah, one faith, one baptism, one Yah, and Father of all, who is above all. It means exactly what it says. And through all, highest Christ, God, through God being in Christ. That's how. How are we the sons of God? Through God now flowing through us to cause us to manifest who we are. So Yah is one Yah. He's the Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Christ is the gift that came from the Father. The Father gave as a gift. Now, wherefore He said, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. These gifts are what we're getting ready to read about. Now He has ascended. What is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended for above all heaven, that He might fulfill all things. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So when you look at verse 11, it identifies a gift that has been established in the government of Yah for the saints or for the good. So what I did, I took Ephesians 4, and we now go back to Romans 13, and we'll deal with that. So what I was explaining to them, I said, what you have to understand is that each one of us are gifts from Yah, from a perspective of Yah setting up these governments for the good. I said, and if you guys would realize that you are in a position that has been ordained by Yah for good, and then to take into consideration that I also am in a position of authority, power. I'm also in a power at representing the government of God for the good, the government of Yah for the good. With that understanding, if we both now use our God, Yah ordained position now for good, then we can see some wonderful things take place. I am in an authority also. I am in a power. And you don't want to get outside the boundaries by which you deal with me according to the power that I operate in. So not only are they things set in place by Yah to govern you, you're supposed to do good. There are also things that set in place by Yah as far as I am to govern good. Now, if I'm operating good and you're not, then the judgment is on you because you're outside of your power.
You said anything?
Yeah. You're outside of your power. So since you're outside of your power now, you now have put yourself in position where you can be judged by Yah, where you can be judged by Yah because you're not handling his position that he's giving you for the good of mankind. This is where understanding these laws now gives us now the position to walk in a place and not and regardless of where that place is, if we understand the proper rules as far as the kingdom is concerned, we can go in and operate within those boundaries and no weapon formed against us will be able to prosper. Elder and I talked about some things from a perspective of that authority, and we pointed out in the discussion, we looked at different leaders. When you look at leaders like Martin Luther King, leaders like Malcolm X, and things like that, they had Yah given powers. They had powers that were given to them by Yah, authorities that were given to them by Yah. For whatever reason another, that's not my concern to try to figure out why, but at the same time, there were powers that Yah had given them to influence in certain perspectives, but at one time or another, they got outside the boundaries of that power. As long as you stay, I told the pastor today, I said, listen, bro, let me tell you something. As long as you stay within the boundaries of the power that Yah has given to you, nobody can touch you, nobody can stop you. Is when we get outside that authority. Yah has given us that power, that gift. He made us as ministers of for the body of Christ, for the perfection of the saints. As long as we operate within that power, within that government that Yah has ordained for us to operate in, we are invincible. It is when we get outside that power where things become dangerous. It becomes dangerous for us when we try to rule in an area where Yah has not given us the ability, power. Where Yah has not given us the ability. So when we operate within those boundaries of that power, Romans 13 and verse 1, let every soul be subject to the higher power. When we operate within that lane of what Yah has ordained us to operate in, we are the higher power. See, when I went into that meeting Monday, I was the higher power. I was the higher power because there were men who were in that meeting that had power, that had authority, but because their authority had put them outside the boundaries for which they were called, I was the higher power in the room. So they had to become subject. They had to become subject based upon the written word that shows the order of how government or power is supposed to be. And so there were certain things that they would say. One thing that was really kind of funny to me is that they talked about different ways that they could assist us as far as our project was concerned. But then because they didn't understand the power that they were dealing with, they made a statement that said this in a nutshell. Well, what we can do is you can decide how much space you want to use, but there are certain things that they want to present to me on what can be done in the building that can help the community. I always get open-minded to certain things. And so what they said in a nutshell was that, okay, what we can do is you decide how much space you need, and we will allot that space out to you. And when they said that, I said, oh, okay, here's how evil operates when it's outside the boundaries by which it's been given. There's a mindset of people that think that based upon their position that they have the power now to use that power or authority according to how they see fit, even though something belongs to you. There are some people who mindset is so corrupt that they will take what you have and try to run what you have. It's yours, and they'll tell you how to run your stuff. And so when they when they said it, I kind of laughed. I said, hold on, man, we need to stop right here. I said, first of all, let me make it clear. We own the building. And since we own the building, you will not be allotting us to anything. You won't be allotting us anything. In reality, we are the ones who are going to be allotting you space. So let's get that clear now. You're not dealing with someone who is intimidated by your power when I come in here under a greater power. Because you now are using your power for evil, and so my power, because I come in with good, it trumps your power. Y'all is sitting on this side of the table, not yours. And since y'all is sitting on this side of the table, let me tell you how y'all is decreeing that this thing should be. You guys are under this vision. We're not under your vision. Y'all have given us the ability. So now that brings us to Matthew chapter 25. And we'll look at, we'll start at verse 14. We've dealt with this before, but I want to deal with part of what's going on with us now. Matthew 25, verse 14 says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a foreign country. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a foreign country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So, what we're about to read is what Yah said, how his government is set up. He said, my government that I put in the earth is set up this way. The kingdom of heaven is like this. So what you're about to read, this is what the kingdom is about. Yeah, you can say heaven operates this way, but I don't want you to stay stuck up in heaven. I want you to understand that when you see this kind of operation, you're seeing the kingdom of heaven. You're seeing it manifested. You're looking at it. So, again, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country, who called his servants and delivered unto him. And he gave, and unto one he gave five talents, to another two. Talents is like, basically, in a nutshell, us as sum of money. Right?
It's like 200K.
Yeah, 200, who?
200K.
Like $200,000? Yeah, it's like $200,000 when you look at this day's time. So he gave unto one five talents, to another two, and to another one. Now, this is something for all of us to understand, that Yah will give responsibility, more responsibility to some people than others. It doesn't mean that I'm more special than somebody because I have more responsibility. It doesn't mean that, because everybody who Yah has given a responsibility, that responsibility is vitally important. So the five is not more important, no more important than the two or the one. The one or the two is not less important. One is not less important. All of them are important. They have responsibility. But look at what he says now, verse 15. Did you help him? Everything good? Okay. You had a look on your face and wrong one. Now, verse 15 says, and he gave unto one, and unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. But here's the key now. To every man, each one of them, the one who has one, the one who has two, the one who has five, to every man according to his several abilities. And straightway took his journey. So the one he gave the five, it was based upon the ability that man had to handle five. The one he gave the two was based upon the ability that the one that he gave, you know, the ability to handle the two. And the one was likewise. So he gave them all according to their ability. Now, when we look at the word ability, we just want to define that word. When we look at the word ability, it says dunamis. So we know that this is power, strength. Okay? So he gave them He gave them talent or money. He gave them a money according to their strength. So he didn't give the guy one. He didn't give the guy who he gave one five because the guy didn't have the strength to have a five. He only had the strength to have a one. He didn't give the guy who had two one because the guy had the strength to handle two. He didn't give the guy who had the strength to handle five one because the guy had the strength to handle five. So I pose this question in the meeting. I'm like, okay, look, now you said you was going to allot to us space. You're going to allot to us faith. And here we are, the owners of the whole place. You're not going to allot to us faith because Yah has given us faith based upon our ability. If you had the ability to run this building, you had it. If anybody else in this metroplex had the ability to do this in this building, you'd have the keys. Y'all has given to us because we are the ones who have the ability, because y'all is not wasteful. Whatever y'all blesses you with, whatever talent, so to speak, he give you, whatever he see that you have the ability to do, that is what he's going to give you the opportunity to do. And the reason why he's giving it to you is because you're the one who has the several abilities to do it. Now, as we read concerning these talents now, he straightway took his journey in verse 15. Verse 16 says, then he had received five talents, went and traded the same, and made them other five talents. So he put his ability into action and produced double. He gained another five. So now he got 10 talents. Verse 17, likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. So he doubled his talent. Got four now.
According to this, a talent would be worth about $1.2 million
today. So five talents is what, about
$6 million?
About $6 million plus or so. So five talents is about $6 million plus or so. Two is how much?
Like
$250,000. $2.5 million. And the other one is about $1.2 million, you said? So you're looking at from today's standard, you have five, one guy received six.
So talent refers to weight, so it's about 75 pounds. So if it's in reference to gold, that's how much it would be worth. If that's part of my talent in gold back then.
Right.
That's how much it would be worth in today's dollar.
Okay, so today's dollar was about 5 talents.
The talent is 75 pounds. So if it's gold, 75
pounds. That's
5 pounds
of gold. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. So when you look at the responsibility they have, each one of them have big responsibilities. But this man who's going into a far country, he gives out based up on the ability of each one of them. And all of them have five roles. Because the one who has one, he got $1.2 million. He don't have no little peanuts. So he has the ability to handle what he's been given. But look at what the scripture said he does, verse 18. But he that had received the $1.2 million. Digging in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, verse 19, those servants cometh. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. Verse 20. And so he that had received five came and brought other five, saying, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside thee them five talents more. Verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22. He that had received two talents came and said, Jehovah, thou hast delivered unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained other two talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful all through things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24, he that received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping what I have not sown and gather what I have not strong. I was afraid. I'm gifted, but I'm just scared. I can do it, but I can't step out and lead God for nothing. I was afraid, and when he hear thy talent, I don't want to lose what you gave me, so in order to keep from losing, I'm going to dig a hole, and I'm going to put it in and hide it, because I'm so concerned about failure that I can't step out and believe what you've called me to do. So I'm not going to operate in the ability that you've given me. I was afraid, verse 25, and when he hear thy talent, then he heard, lo, there thou hast in sign. His Lord answered him, verse 26, and said, thou wicked, you twisted, you slothful, you lazy. Thou wicked and slothful servant, knewest thou that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not straw. Thou artest therefore, verse 20, have put my money to the exchangers, that as I come I should have received my own reunion. You couldn't even put it in the bank so I could have got some interest off of it. So we dealt with all that. But What I wanted to make clear from this passage here is I pointed out to them, look, it is time for everybody in the city. Everybody in the city has been trying to take possession of something that Yah has given it to someone, a ministry that has the talent to pull it off. He's given to us. Now, let me give you our track record when it comes down to this property, even though you have been fighting us since we've taken possession of it. We are the first organization to receive funds to get this building to this point in the history of the city of Dallas. That shows our talent. So y'all took an organization and done something with that organization based upon our ability that no other organization in the city of Dallas has been able to do. You need to take notice of this talent. You are the city, and you have never done it. Take note of this talent, because this talent has been given to us by Yah, and we are carrying out according to our ability, and we're doing something supernatural. We're doing something that nobody else has ever done. You didn't take note of that. Something is going on with us to let you know that there's something about us that nobody has. And you fight it. Number two. Not
respond to that.
How can you respond? How can you respond? Number two. Not only are we the first organization to receive these funds in the city of Dallas history. I should have looked and did some research on how old the city of Dallas is. In your entire Dallas history, government official, no one in this city has ever accomplished in the history of this city what we accomplished. That's an ability. You need to take note. Not only did we pull that off, we finished it a year ahead of schedule. Something that nobody in the history of this grant has ever done. You take note of that. Yah is manifesting a talent within this city that you guys need to realize that you're up against something that is way above the talent by which you are trying to operate in and do the same thing. There is no one else able to do what we have done. I rather prove that. You need to take note of that. Two things have happened based upon our ability that has not happened in the history of Dallas and in the history of an organization who gives out these funds for it to be done. We finished in less than a year. So much so that the organization who gave us the funds to finish it, they were like, man, y'all big time around here. When they bring up your name in these different meetings, everybody is impressed to find out that not only did y'all get the funds to do it, something that was almost impossible, but then you take those funds and you do a project and you finish it a year ahead of time, and when we come look at the building, we thought, well, maybe they got finished with the project because it was some little hole in the ground that it didn't take a long time to clean up. But then you come on the campus and your chin hits the cement. Because not only do you realize that we finished a year ahead of time, but you're looking at the magnitude by which we did it. No one else has our ability. And God is manifesting to them that no one has the ability that what I've given this minister the talent to do. So I got to say something to each one of you. You are here, each one of you is listening, and those who will listen in the future who is attached to this ministry, there is something in you that nobody else has. We have not done anything natural since this ministry has existed. Everything has been supernatural. How did you do it? Let's talk about our ability a little bit more now. We are the first nonprofit organization to own the center in Honeygrove. No other organization has owned it except for the school district. We're the first organization to own it. It was built based upon a school. It is all it has ever been, and nobody had the ability to put it off but first in history to do everything. You think y'all is not saying something to us? Y'all have taken what we have done and called us to go back and look at it all and said, you're first in everything, right? You're first to do things that haven't been done. What is it? What? When are you going to realize as a ministry that I'm doing something with you that is a barrier breaker? Just like I told you. Things will be done that have never been done before, and I'm constantly giving you a track record to see things are being done with this ministry that has never been done before because God has called us to be who we are, and he has given us the ability to carry it out, and he's just now using your pastor to take us all back and look at the track record to realize, hey, we're doing some special stuff. So I looked at these officials and I said, this is what you're dealing with. And you're going to have to recognize this authority that is in this city. Because all who you've been recognizing as the authority hasn't been doing things according to their ability from a primary or first point of view, a first perspective. Well, there's some things that's being done before. But everything that Yah is doing with us, he's saying, I'm doing stuff that has never been done before. And when it manifests and people start looking at the track record, they're going to say, this organization has done everything first. We are called to do what we do. And each one of you has the ability to do something that nobody has done before. What is it? What is it that Yah is pulling on you and tugging on you about? What talent he want to put in your hand based upon your ability? And so all this time, Yah has been sitting up this city. They have been looking at our ministry as some little old nothing that, they can just push around and call us to do whatever they want us to do, and we're not able to do this here. And I got so tickled because there are certain things that people say when the Spirit of God is really on me. There are certain things that people say, and God just takes those words and manifests their complete thoughts. One thing they said was this. They was like, well, what condition is the building? I said, oh, that's code word for we've been trying to figure out how to come in and take the building. So we're curious about the condition of it. So we want to ask you about the condition of it to see if we can pull off what we've been trying to pull off. My response was completely clean. We didn't know that. Y'all got them so blinded behind what they're trying to do that they don't see we doing stuff right in front of their eyes. Y'all won't even let them see it. We didn't know it was completely cleaned up. Yeah, there's nothing in there. What's the condition of the building? You're looking at concrete and steel. Matter of fact, this building that we're sitting in now, the City Hall building, our building looks exactly like this on the inside. It looks exactly like this. Nothing but concrete and steel. Just like this building we're sitting in right now at this meeting. How is the ceiling? The same concrete that your ceiling is right here. Man, that place is basically a bunker. Yes, it is. It's basically a bunker, if you want to call it that. We call it a fortress. Yah himself is the only one that can knock it down. So you're not coming after something that you can get based upon its condition. Because when you walk in there, you will see it in perfect condition. Why did we get a building in such condition? Because Yah is saying, there's something I put in you according to your several ability that is going to allow you to carry it out in that place, and no one else can do it but y'all. I didn't get a person with the one talent that built it. I didn't get a person with the two talents that built it. I gave it to one who had the ability to handle it. So I look at them all and say, look at you, big old city, with all the money. If you had the ability to carry out y'all's plan, you'd already be there. So you are in a dangerous position now to try to take a position that Yah has given up the talent to do. Here you are, one talent trying to operate it at five talent status. You'll never make it work. If I gave to you, Yah come through and knock it down just because it's not the right gift that's in there. The most dangerous thing we can do is to give you control of that building. You don't have the ability to do it. Yeah, you got the money, but you don't have the ability. You know, I don't say it this way. I just saw it, and it reminded me of a conversation we had earlier today, but I ain't getting into detail. It just reminded me in the vein of the conversation. You know, there are a whole lot of people who got money to buy a car, but it don't mean they know how to drive. I know a lot of people who be like, man, look here, if that's what people do, they think just because they have money, they can go do stuff. I got money, I'm going to go buy a car. Can you drive? I got money to get a house. Don't you know about a house? There are people that think because they have talents, talent is one thing, ability is something else. Anybody can get a hold of talent, but it takes ability to manage the talent. You see what I'm saying? That's why people be like, man, if I had $1 million, I'd turn this world upside down. Yes, you would with your crazy ability. This world be just as messed up as can be because you don't have the talent to operate at the level. You don't have the ability to operate at the level of the talent that you have. Y'all is not waiting for. So you think about that across the board in every facet of life now. What lane am I trying to get in that Yah is saying I don't have the ability to handle? My ability makes a certain talent look easy. Sometimes I just done got this before. I don't be concerned about some stuff. I just call Elder and be like, hey, what is this? I don't know what this is. I don't have the ability to do this. You the technology man. Tell me what this is. I ain't even gonna read it and try to figure it out. Why waste my time when I can just shoot somebody the information that has the ability? Why waste my time over here? I don't even know what button to push. Why waste my time? So let me just use the talent that's there. I mean, the ability that's there. Let me take this talent and give it to the one that has the ability and let that individual operate at the level by which God has given them, and it makes me and him look good. You know, now I know how to group me, and I look good doing it. But it wasn't my ability who made it happen. I just gave the talent to somebody else who had the ability, and they told me what to do, and I did it, and now I look like I know everything. Didn't have a clue. We have to be wise enough to know when we are looking at a talent that is outside of our ability. When we operate outside our ability, all we're going to do is tear stuff up. How many stuff? How much stuff have you tore up with your ability? Because it was outside your ability. I have tore up some stuff. You know, I was in dial-up mode. You are now online. That was practice for me. Y'all was like, boy, I got some stuff I need to do with this ministry. And you need to get your little ability out of the way. Ella came over here and was like, Pastor, you still doing one of those 94s, 95s? You still doing one of those 95s? What's wrong with them? That's like angel. That's like so slow. What do you mean? Well, it's good speed to me. Yeah, because you are operating according to your ability. But y'all want to do something greater than your ability. We need to get out of a dial-up and start going to some higher speed. Well, we went to a little higher speed, and I was fine with that. This is good. Ain't nothing wrong with this. Don't be checking on the internet. This is fine. But we're going at this level of ministry. It is fine for your ability, but it's not fine for the ability that I have to take up to certain things as far as ministry is concerned. What I had to do? I had to go sit by one talent down and let him operate in it. I had to go sit and use with my ability and use that one talent and allow him to use his ability to get up to five talents. See, but most people want to take and lead everybody wrong with their little one talent ability, but they're trying to operate at a five level talent, and it's just not working. That's the problem. That's the problem with what's going on in society today. Everybody is trying to operate outside the realm of their ability. And God is saying, I'm doing something with this ministry. And when it's said and done, it is going to help all those who are really seeking the kingdom of God line up into their ability and watch my glory.
Come here.
Go ahead.
Even go a step further.
Make sure you say it loud enough.
So.
But it's getting extra warm in here. I don't know if it's just me or what.
So when you look at the story of the parable, at least he put it in the ground, but the thing that goes on today is they don't even put it in the ground, they consume it on themselves, right? So they took the talent that was given to them for a purpose and consume that on themselves. That's the age that we live in now. It's like I ain't going to use these talents for anything but to consume it up on me.
So I'll say it from this perspective of what Elder just said. Why is it that you let me see how I want to put this. What is the purpose for your ability? In other words, if you have the opportunity to implement your ability, what's the bottom line? Answer that question. And you'll understand whether you're in your right ability or not. I'm going to say it again. Ask yourself, what is the purpose of why you're implementing that ability? What's the bottom line? If you have the ability to do something, when it's said and done, what is the bottom line for you implementing that ability? What is the bottom line? Your answer determines if you're out of your lane or not. Now let me explain what I mean by that. Or you can explain if you want. It don't matter. Okay. Now, everything I do, my ability, the bottom line is that he may be glorified. Because I'm created for his glory. And since I'm created for his glory, everything that I want to use my ability to do is designed to bring him glory. If it's anything else, that's me. I'm in the wrong lane. If you said, I want to take and implement my ability so that I can have candy, cookies, and donuts, y'all said it'll never happen. I will never give you a talent to implement those things according to your own ability. So if you're pulling it off, it's your own ability out of your own lane, and eventually it's going to come to naught, nothing. Every man's work will be tested of what sort it is. But he himself will scarcely make it in, although his works may be burned. That's the scripture. In other words, God said, everything you do, I'll judge it to see if it's something that brings me glory. If it don't bring me glory, then I'm going to destroy all the things that you've accomplished based upon your ability, but you don't get a chance to make it in. Burn it. I don't like wasting time. I just rather get in my lane. And at the end of the story, y'all got his hands up saying, boy, look at that, boy, did for me. If your bottom line is not that, you're in the wrong lane. If your leadership does not manifest the glory of God, you're in the wrong lane. We're getting ready to do a funeral service for my nephew who was murdered. And I was originally told that I was going to preach the youth. But I had made it clear. Look, I don't get caught up into that. Fine, I'm just here to help whichever way I can to get through the process. Well, so some of the preachers that's a part of the other side of their family has called, I guess has gotten wind that, it's going to be at a large church, and so he thought of Branger, because everybody's trying to do something, and so some people who are operating outside their lane, they would think bigger church means bigger responsibility for me and bigger recognition. So the bigger the place is, that means all the recognition come to me and I'm going to become important because I preach in this big city. Outside the ability, though. And so I know how God's going to work things out from that perspective, but I'm not caught up into the preaching part because I know the ability that he's given me is always going to lose up to the front. Because that's the ability that he's given. So it don't matter what setting. It's the same way with you. It don't matter where you are. When you are anointed to be what you are, you can sit in the back of the seat and have the folks that come in there going to be turning around looking at you saying, who is that? So your ability is going to lose out of you. So I don't care how far back of the line you get, if it's your ability, y'all gonna pull you up to the front every time. But on the other hand, you can get up in the front all you want to, and if that's not your lane, you always gonna get slapped to the back of the line. Everyone has to take their ability, wherever you use that ability, and use it for the glory of Yah. Bottom line, when Yah is being glorified in your ability, then it is evident that you're in the right lane. Oh, yeah, we'll start businesses from what God has called us to do. And we will personally benefit from those businesses. Y'all going to provide for us financially, but at the same time, that is not the bottom line. The bottom line is that we may glorify him. And from glorify him, he'll always extend some candy, cookies, and donuts on the way.
You can't walk into it with the mindset, I'm not going to do it if it benefits me.
Exactly.
Because with that mindset is what you, it ain't, whatever you do ain't going to work.
That is a cold word for I'm in the wrong lane. I'm not even going to do it if it's not going to benefit me. That co-worker in the wrong lane. Because when you operate within your ability, you don't look at the outcome. You are excited that you're just walking in it. I love what I do. I'm just excited to be walking in it. When y'all uses me, I'm more impressed than anybody else. Sometimes I say stuff, and when I go back and listen to some of the things that I say, or sometimes I say it, I stop and my mind has to catch up with it. I'll be like, ooh, I need to write that down. Why do you think I deal with you in lessons most of the time and I show you in PowerPoint? Because all the information y'all be giving me, it don't come from me. I just be so impressed with it that I have to write it down because I don't want to forget it. So when I come out and show you a PowerPoint, it's all the stuff that y'all had said to me and was so awesome I had to write it down. That's not a sermon that I've written out. I'm writing down the oracles of y'all based upon what he's given me from the scriptures. And I'm just as dumbfounded by it as you are. If you are, you know. And so I want each one of us to understand that as we get ready to close, we are a ministry that has been called to do some wonderful things. Don't take it lightly. What we've been called to do. Look at our track record. We have done things that no ministry has ever done. I don't care what size the ministries are. Nobody. Let me back up even further. Y'all just showed me things. We were the first to cause AT&T to donate a building. First. Isn't that sounding funny, y'all? I'm saying that not to be funny. Isn't that starting to kind of resonate in our mind? Isn't it starting now to kind of soak in and cause us to be sober and start saying, wait a minute. We're the first to ever get that company, that multi-billion, trillion, how much money bring in, that multi-trillion dollar company, or billion dollars, how it work, all that money, that Forrest Gump type of money, we're the first one to get them to say, yeah, we'll give you a bill. We're the first. First to get them to do it. First with EPA. First in the city of Dallas. First when it comes down to the Senate in Honeybrook. First in all these different things. Something nobody has ever done. Something that somebody said, no, we can't donate you that building. That is not our policy. But yet, here we are. Yah is doing that with us because he's saying to us, you have an ability, United Ministries. You have an ability, Project United, one is the same. You have an ability that I have not given to anyone else. So since the organization has that ability, it is the people inside that organization who is carrying out that ability because individually I have given it to them to do. There's something in each one of you that can be done that nobody else can do it but you. Don't be looking at me. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I ain't trying to figure it out. I got one talent ability in something that you can do 5 talents. I got one. Don't even be fooling with me. Let me operate in my 5-talent level, and you get in your 5-talent level, and watch we turn this city upside down, and then we're going to spread out from there. The problem has been is that we're trying to operate outside the boundaries by which we've called. I'm learning how to stay in my talent. I ain't trying to, in my ability. I'm using the talent he's giving me. Oh, but you let me get in my lane. Child, I'm gonna tell it just like y'all put it in my heart to explain it. I'm almost arrogant when I'm in my lane. I don't care who it is. I let them know when I'm in my authority, when I'm in my power, I will stand up to anybody and show them that they are supported. I don't care where I am. I walk like when I'm in my lane, when I walk in the place, they know authority just came in. Everybody else in here just became a subordinate. You have to be the same way.
When you know you're in your lane, walk in it. Walk in it to the highest degree. Walk in it to perfection. Walk in it with the authority that God has given you and watch you turn the world upside down. Oh, there are always going to be people that don't like your ability. But I like how the scripture says, when it deals with the fruit of the Spirit, it names love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, manner, meekness, meekness, all of them. Against such, there is no law. In other words, there is no law or no standard that can trump the standard by which we walk in when we operate according to the Spirit of God in our ability. There is no law that can slow us down or suffer. The city doesn't have a law to stop what our ability is implementing. They don't have a law. Nobody has a law to trump what God has given us to do. They have no choice but to become subordinate to this power. It's the same way as far as each one of you are concerned. You have an ability, walk in it. I was talking to an individual today, and the individual has a wonderful talent that Yah has given. But sometimes individuals don't want to walk in the talent by which Yah has given. But Yah constantly put them in the forefront. Constantly put them in the forefront. What is Yah constantly putting each one of you in the forefront on that you should have been saying, "Ooh, I don't want to do that. I want to do it. Let me tell you something about ability. When Yah is in it, none of us want to do it. That's a sign to let you know when that ability is yours. None of us want to do really what we call to do until we realize that we call to do it. And see how wonderful we make the world when we operate in it. When they told me I was a preacher, I said, "No, I ain't. I don't want to do that. I'm a professional football player. That's my ability." Y'all say, "Yeah, you're going to be a big, strong, fast, running preacher. That's what you're going to be." Because all the ability outside, all of your ability to play professional football is outside your lane, and that's where your destruction is. You're going to get in what I call you to do. You're going to lose your strength. You're going to lose your running. You're going to lose all that power within what I call you to be. But I don't want to do that. Go ahead.
And what I found, just from my own understanding over the course of time, is usually where you're the most gifted is what you take the most for granted. Other people will look at you and be like, "Man, I wish I could do that." Mm-hmm. And for you, it comes natural.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no effort. And so because it comes natural and there's no effort, it, to you, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you take it for granted. Although it can be your greatest strength. But because it comes natural, to you, it's not a big deal. And you can be like, whatever. I can do that with no problem.
Exactly.
And the person over there is like, "Man, I can try 5 years and I couldn't do that."
Exactly.
I want to do it. And you do it naturally, and you to you it's not a big deal.
Exactly. Case in point. I don't know what to call it. A guy who preaches the word. That's a preacher. That's all I'm going to say. Came to Dallas, and because he saw, actually he told me, he said, I came to your church to slay you. That's what he told me. He said, I slay preachers. I go to their churches, and because of what I understand from the scripture, I break their doctrine up. I come and I just totally destroy them in front of their congregation. He said, "I came to Dallas to do the same thing to you." He said, "But when you open them scriptures up," he said, "I ain't never heard the stuff that you were saying." He said, "I found myself taking notes." Then he said, no one ever said, "Because I made it look easy, I'm in my ability." First thing he said after service, "Take me in your office and show me your library." I know you got to have a library. Because the knowledge that's coming out of your mind, you have to have a whole lot of books
and read a whole lot of books and have a whole lot of understanding from all this material to do what you do. You making this look too easy, so show me all of your books. I took him in the office and clicked on the computer and pulled up the very Bible that you're looking up looking at right now on the computer. If you're looking at video media. This is my library. Man, how are you seeing the thing that you see? You know what I realize, man? The scriptures are written on the tables of your heart. Y'all gave me that ability. So I'm making it look easy, which you have to work hard to do. Because when he came down, he had about five boxes of books. I ain't never seen that many books. I'm like, man, I wouldn't have time to look at all them things. I don't even study the Bible to get a message. I study the Bible on a daily basis, but I don't study to get a message. I study to understand it. So that y'all can give me understanding. I don't pick up the Bible and let me get a sermon. Y'all show me what he want me to say, and then I go get the scriptures to put with what he gave me to say. So like Ella was saying, when you're in your ability, you make it look easy, and I take it for granted. That's why I was saying to you all the time, all you got to do is study. Oh, that's the thing. Like, no, that ain't the case. Because I know people be studying and they ain't seeing what you saying. Come on, man. All you got to do is study. I take it for granted. I had to learn how to accept the fact that I have an ability that God has given me that he called it to be first. I have an ability. I have to accept it. So I have learned not to take my position for granted. So I sit around dumbfounded. When you show me stuff, I should be dumbfounded. Y'all come here. Sometimes I come in here, y'all be looking at me, my nose be running, and I be constantly wiping my eyes. People like, you got a cold belt? No, he just jacked me up in the office, and I come out of here from crying and nose running and all that, because I'm like, this is just too overwhelming. Why me? You got the ability. Don't take for granted what he's given you to do. But then, don't take for granted what he's given you to do to the point to where it causes you to get out of what you're supposed to be doing. And you're in something else. That's where the danger is. So I told this pastor, I'm getting ready to close up to listen. So, bro, let me tell you something. Like he said, I've been praying. There's a lot of information that he has that he wants to expose. He started to see a whole lot of information. He said, I believe my phone was tapped and stuff like this. He said, I kind of, you know, feel a little bit threatened as far as my life is concerned. He said, because I know a lot of stuff that can expose a lot of rough things. And I said, bro, let me tell you something. He said, man, I'm going to get off the phone. He said, some stuff I want to tell you. He said, but I want to pray. He said, I want to get off the phone and pray for a while. And he said, I'll call you on another line. He said, because I think this one is tapped. That's what he said. I said, bro, I said, let me tell you, I'm in my lane. So I'm talking according to my ability. He's outside his lane. And I'm trying to let him know that. Or I let him know that. I wasn't trying. I let him know. I said, bro, let me tell you something. I'm not concerned about tap phones. I said, the church will tell you. I'll be on the phone. We'll be in a media type of sitting like this. And I'll be saying, I don't care who's listening to me. They can't do nothing. Why? Because I'm talking within the ability that I'm walking in. So I don't fear. He has fear because he's getting outside of his boundaries of his ability. I said, bro, you got to remember, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all of our leaders died because they got outside their ability. They started operating according to things that was pleasing to men instead of Yah. So they started doing things instead of seeking Yah for wisdom to operate in their ability. They started listening to men. So, bro, as long as you stay within your ability, they cannot touch you. They cannot stop you. You don't have to be worried about who's listening to your phone conversation. I'm going to say what I just said to you and see how I'm going to solve them and walk out the door. They still not going to be able to do nothing about it. And here's what I told him before I got on the phone. I said, my brother, I'll tell you, he's listening to me. And so I told him, I said, look, bro, I won't go to the gates of hell and tell what did he do when I'm in my lane? I go to Hell's Gate to look at devil doing himself by himself. I know you're gonna try to stop it, but watch you fail. I'm in my ability. When you're in your ability, there's an authority that Yah will give you to go along with it, and you are invincible within your ability. Stay in your lane. Stay in your ability. Use your ability to operate use your ability to handle the talent that Yah has placed in your hand, or that Yah has placed in your hand. Stay within your lane. Stay within your ability. All right? I'm through. Any questions, comments, anything? Anybody? You good? Okay. Father Yah, we bless you. We thank you for giving us the understanding that we all have an ability, and that you want to put talents in our hand according to those abilities to carry them out for your glory. And Yah, we just ask you to just continue to lead and guide us in all truth. Give us the wisdom to know when we're outside the boundaries by which we're called, so that we can bring glory to you by staying within those boundaries. And we bless you in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen.